This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Remember when the App Store first came online in 2008? Back then, a smartphone was like a blank slate, and the App Store was a strange new world of easy-to-download possibilities. There were practical apps for getting the news or finding movie times at your local theaters. There were novelty apps like the virtual koi pond or the one that turned your phone into a lightsaber. It was a brand new marketplace where any developer with a good idea and a knack for writing code could carve out a niche and make it big. But all that is changing. Casey Newton is Silicon Valley editor at The Verge. He recently wrote about how app fatigue among users and a crowded marketplace for developers are shrinking opportunities and profits on the App Store. And Casey, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Oh, happy to be here.
So it's crazy to think about the fact that the App Store is only 8 years old. Can you take us back to that time, 2008, and remind us what that marketplace looked like when the App Store first opened?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's hard to remember now, but when the iPhone came out, it didn't have an App Store. And when Steve Jobs announced it on stage, he said, you know what, you don't need to have native apps on this phone. You can just make web apps, and you can just sort of navigate to those on your mobile phone browser and do everything inside your web browser. And developers said, no, we can make way better apps if you just kind of give us access to the phone. And so a year later, Steve Jobs relented. And just as you said, it was a completely blank slate then, and developers had all sorts of ideas for things that they could build, and they did that right away. It was sort of a hit from the very beginning.
Right, and of course the joke came out, you know, there's an app for that. There was something for absolutely everything. When did the app boom kind of hit its peak?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I mean, I think from Apple's perspective, they would tell you that maybe the App Store hasn't hit its peak. And when you look at sort of the absolute number of dollars that are being made, that's probably higher than ever. But if you want to look at it from the perspective of maybe a smaller independent developer, I think it can be argued that the peak of the App Store was maybe sometime within those first 3 or 4 years, because during that time, consumers were still looking for apps all the time. People would open up the App Store on their phone. They'd kind of hunt around. They would see what was at the top of the charts. They would see what Apple had featured, and they were sort of much more willing to play around. And so even if you just made a simple utility, like some of the guys that I wrote about in my story, they made an app for editing photos, they could sell that for a couple of bucks and actually make a really good living for themselves. So during that whole sort of first 3 or 4 years of the App Store, there's a lot of money to be made, even among people that didn't have huge marketing budget.
So how many apps are there now?
There are about 1.5 million apps in the iOS App Store and about 1.6 million in the Google Play Store, which is the equivalent on Android. There are a lot of complaints about the quality of search in app stores. It can be very hard to find an app unless you know the exact name. Sometimes even if you do know the exact name, it might not pop up right away. And so developers really rely on trying to get their app onto the top of the most downloaded charts, because that is still a sort of a very visible place where a lot of consumers will still see it. But of course, in order to get onto those most downloaded charts, you typically have to spend a lot on ads in order to get people to download it.
What is the app economy worth right now?
You know, I don't know the total number, but I think if you take a look at the sort of most successful developer in the App Store, it's a company named Supercell. They make a game that you may have heard of called Clash of Clans. Supercell alone in 2014 reported revenues of $1.7 billion. That's probably at the far extreme of what a company can make, but it's certainly safe to say that revenue generated in the App Store is in the billions.
Well, that breaks down for just Supercell, 2.4 million a day. That's just amazing. I mean, no wonder it drew so many people. But how about our use of apps? How has that changed over the year? And how is that changing the app economy here in the U.S.?
You know, I think when the App Store first came out, one of the things that was exciting about it was it felt like every time you visited the App Store, your phone would get a new superpower, right? Like, I'll never forget the first time I heard of Shazam, this app that lets you, it'll tell you the name of a song
right,
that's playing
around
you. Right,
you play the song and it tells you what the name of it is.
Yeah, it's like, it's amazing, right? No more just like stumbling around the grocery store, like trying to remember a few lines of the song so you can go home and Google it later, right? And so there are all kinds of apps like these that really made you feel like kind of a little superhero, right? Uber is another one where it's like I can just summon a car to me and then go anywhere I want for less than the cost of a taxi. So there was a lot of that in the early days. But what we found was that over time, most people's use of apps actually kind of revolved around maybe just three apps. There are some studies that show that people will spend upwards of 80% of their time in just their top three apps, which for most people would be like a messaging app, an email app, and Facebook. I would say those are kind of the three big ones. And once those apps have 80% of your time, it doesn't leave a lot of room for apps that are maybe just kind of silly or fun utilities, you know. Games continue to do really well, but outside of games, most of our time really does kind of focus on those core utilities that are centered around communicating with our friends and family.
I'm talking about the App Store economy, a once boundless marketplace, now pretty crowded, where, according to Casey Newton, too much competition and too little interest is squeezing out the smaller and medium-sized developers. Casey is Silicon Valley editor at The Verge. Now, Casey, you write that successful companies today just can't build a new app and expect it to succeed. You mentioned the marketing muscle that they have to have to maintain profits. You know, are we watching the same thing happen, that those that have the money, they can make money, those that don't have the money, they cannot?
I think that that is largely true. You know, I think that in the early days of the App Store, there is what I think of as the middle class, where if you were a moderately good developer with a moderately good idea, you could sell your app for a couple of dollars and you could probably make, you know, $100,000 in a year, right? Probably enough to feed your family. So really good money, particularly for people who'd been doing mostly freelance work before, which is the case for the guys that I wrote about in my story. But what happened was, as the App Store got more crowded, that middle class started to get hollowed out. And so now the vast majority of the businesses that are built on the App Store tend to fall into one of two categories. You have these solo developers who maybe have a partner, but typically these companies just are not bigger than two people because the maximum revenues that they can generate are going to top out around, I don't know, let's say between $100,000 and $200,000 a year. And then you have these companies that are backed by venture capital, so companies that go out and raise, you know, $5, $10, $15 million, and part of the reason that they raise that money is so that they can market their apps. So again, to use this example of Supercell, which is the extreme example because they make the most money and spend the most money on marketing, they made $1.7 billion in 2014, but they spent $440 million on marketing, right? So, and like every one of those dollars they spent to buy a customer. Mm-hmm. So when you have people who are going to spend $440 million on marketing, it just makes it very difficult for a team of five or six or 10 people, which you did see a little bit more of back in the earlier days.
So this leads me to ask, with these companies backed up by venture capital, you know, and not actually selling any product, are we looking at an app bubble?
It's a question that we hear a lot in Silicon Valley. I started writing about tech here in 2010, and for the last 5 years, people have been telling me that we're in a bubble. It still hasn't quite popped yet. A difference between sort of last time and this time is that in the dot-com bubble of the late 90s, you had a lot of companies that had no revenues even that were going public. And then you had a lot of public pension funds that were buying those stocks. And so when the sort of music stopped and all those companies died, had this huge impact on the national economy. The app economy is a little bit different. If these apps were to go out of business, because their companies are for the most part privately held, the only people who would really lose money are the venture capitalists. So it isn't that there would be no impact, but I think the impact would be smaller. But that said, it's not clear to me that we're in a bubble exactly, because people are still making, you know, millions or in a handful of cases, billions of dollars on the App Store. It's just the kinds of businesses that are making money have really changed, and that making money, I think, requires just a lot more sophistication than it would have 5 or 10 years ago.
Are there any little scrappy app developers now hitting in the top of the charts, or are those days behind us?
That's well, you know, there's one that I wrote about in my story that I would say is scrappy, even though they're now 50 people. But when they started out, it was just four or five guys. They're these Israelis. They have a company called Lightricks, and they made this insanely popular app called Facetune that just did one thing well, which was it helped you take the perfect selfie. And Lightricks sold this app for $5, which is really expensive by today's standards. But the thing just did gangbusters. There's a flip side of it, though, and one of the reasons that I think of Lightricks as a really scrappy company is not only did they write software for this cute selfie app, but they also wrote software to figure out how to essentially game the most downloaded charts, because they realized that they could buy a certain number of installs every day using Facebook ads, and they sort of wrote software to sort of optimize that, figure out exactly how much money they needed to spend on Facebook so that they could stay at the top of the download charts, which would in turn drive more downloads. And by sort of perfecting that, they were able to create what looks like a really sustainable business. They've since raised millions of dollars of venture capital. They've expanded to 50 people. But it just took so much more sophistication than something like that would have taken in 2008.
Could you have guessed how all this was going to play out in 2008 when that app store first opened?
No, but I'm terrible at predicting things. That's why I like being a reporter, is you just get to watch what happens.
Casey Newton, thank you for speaking with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Casey Newton, he's Silicon Valley editor at The Verge. You'll find a link to read his article, Life and Death in the App Store, at wordofmouthradio.org.